Amen. God bless you guys. Can't leave yet. I've first got to preach. So, you know, don't get all excited just yet. But may the Lord bless you guys as you make your way. Friends, I want to share God's word with you. And Lord Jesus, may you speak through your word in power this morning. I want to jump straight into his word. And as we do that, what a wonderful time together. It's been so great just to be free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hey? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the psalmist even says, what a great thing it is when people are united. And we are united in one thing this morning, apart from the other things, that is that he makes all things new. I'm obviously staying in this theme, but I want to jump in this morning around a topic. And it's a topic that I've kind of been reluctant to share with you because some of you have probably heard 1,000 sermons on this topic already. Well, hold tight. Here comes 1,001. But I'd like to share with you this morning, my friends, on the heart. I'd like to share with you around the topic of the heart. And I'm pretty certain you've all heard sermons around this topic before. But I want to suggest in this context, if you, like me, are excited to see God making things new, not only in our church, but in our lives. I want to say, when God makes things new, He starts with our hearts. He starts with our hearts. And this morning, I'm not going to use the scriptures to go into this deep theology on what the heart is and what it isn't, but I know that A.W. Tozer has said this one thing. I don't know much about what it means when the scriptures speak of the heart, but I know that for the Christian, the heart is the center of all things. I know that for the Christian, the heart is the center of all things. So God does two things when He makes all things new. He does two things according to His word. The first thing He does is He gives us a new heart. And the second thing He does, along with that new God, He puts His Spirit in us. Hallelujah. That is the essence of everything and how God works when He makes things new. And when you consider the Christian walk, when you consider our own journey, everything revolves around the condition of our hearts. Everything revolves around the condition of our hearts. And we'll look at many scriptures this morning as we examine our own hearts. We're going to search the scriptures as to what does a new heart actually look like. But right there in the beginning, even in the Old Testament, when God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, He said this. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, it is behind me, this is the word of God. Moreover, so in this context, Israel is about to be renewed. God is addressing the prophet, and this is just before God is about to renew Israel. He says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. That is why when we are born again, we die, and we are raised to life with Jesus. The old is dead, new has come. He gives us a new heart, and He puts a new spirit within us, His Spirit. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and bring it about that you walk in my statutes and are careful and follow my ordinances. So when God makes all things new, when He does a new work in your heart, when He does a new work in your life or in my life, He starts with our hearts. He starts with our hearts. And the second thing He does as we consider this is this. He puts His Spirit within us. And dear Christian, I want to try and set you free here this morning because as a child of God, as a New Testament Christian, there is only one goal. There is only one desire that you and I should have and aspire to. And that is that we would be filled with the Spirit. Maybe for years you've tried to act better. Maybe for years you've tried to be more strict. Maybe for years you've turned back to religion. We must be filled with the Spirit because when God's Spirit fills us, His fruit flows out of us. And isn't that the entire theology of the Apostle Paul? Isn't that just what he said? Be being filled with the Spirit. So be filled with the Spirit, but continually ask that God would fill you with His Spirit. I want to say to you, dear Christian, it's not your role to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Why? Because it's not our fruit, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our role is to say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. How can you be a better husband? Fill me with your Spirit. How can you be a better wife? Fill me with your Spirit. How can you be a better worship leader? Fill me with your Spirit. How can you be a better banker? How can you be a better electrician? How can you be a better plumber? By saying, God, fill me with your Spirit. Because when he fills us, he flows out of us. And I want to set you free, because really, so many of us as Christians, the heart is good or the motivation is good, but it's not our role to be better. It is our role to decrease and let Christ increase by the filling of his Spirit. So when God makes something new, he goes for the heart. Like I said, I'm not going to use the scriptures this morning to try and explain what that is, but just consider how we speak. Often it's been said that home is where the heart is. I often say of Kerry that she has my heart. Oh, you know. But what does that actually mean? And you know, another little story, particularly, you know, I'm sure some of you follow sports teams. I was born and raised in Pretoria, so, you know, I'm a Blue Bull supporter. But 15 years ago when I moved to Joburg, you know, I thought, you know, I better move away from that, so I started supporting the Lions. But you know what? After 15 years, I have to tell you, I'm a fraud, because my heart is still with the Bulls. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I can't explain it. But it is that I want to use this morning as we concentrate on what does it mean when the scriptures speak of our hearts. Firstly, we have to recognize again, my dear friends, that Paul cautions. He says, don't get drunk on wine. Don't get drunk on all those other things, but be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't know where you are in your personal walk with Jesus. I don't know if you have a deep desire or a deep passion for him to do something new in your life. But allow him to fix the root. Allow God to go straight to the root of our problems. Because everything else is just symptoms. And when God makes us new, he puts a new heart in us and he fills us with his Spirit. So, you know, this morning, we're going to examine our hearts, and it's going to hurt a little bit. And I'm not going to try and use God's word to rebuke anyone or even to rebuke myself, but let's just get real and examine our hearts for a few minutes. Because if the condition of the heart is everything, let's start there. If the heart needs to be fixed so that we can live better or act better or be better, let's start there. And it would be amiss if we don't turn to the word of God, because his word is alive. His word is what we feed on. And in Matthew chapter 6, on that great Sermon of the Mount, I can almost picture people saying, well, Jesus is speaking about the heart. What does this all mean? How can I find it? Where can I find it? And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, these words come out of the mouth of God. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Allow the Holy Spirit to just kind of use that in your life, because I get so convicted when I read that. And that can mean anything. That's not just money, but where my priorities are, where my energy is, where I emphasize things, that is who I am. That is my heart. If I love screaming at the fellow driver next to me, there's a problem. If I enjoy conflict, there's a problem. And this is what speaks of what's going on inside you. This is what gives us away, my dear friends. Often we speak of this kind of thing, and it's been said that if you want to know where your priorities are, have a look at your budget. And isn't that just so true? And this is not a request for money or anything of the sort, but if you want to know what is happening inside your heart, go and look at what you put all your energy in and on. Go and look at where you put your money. Go and look at where you put your effort, where you put your concentration, where you put your love, where you put your time, because that will reveal what's going on inside. Another passage I want to look at this morning is in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. And I mean, what a setting is painted here. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. So I just want to get there. It's nice for me to have the scriptures in front of me. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. So what's happening here? Samuel is being spoken to by God, and David is about to be anointed. And Samuel looks at all the sons of Jesse, and he sees Eliab. And he sees, wow, Eliab is so strong. Eliab is so mighty. Eliab looks amazing. He must have God's anointing. It's kind of like looking at me and saying, he has a tie on. Look at this man today. What a pastor we have. But it's not about what's going on outside that matters. It's about what's going on in here, my friends. And as Samuel sees Eliab, he sees this man that looks the part. He sees this man that ticks every box. And the Lord speaks to Samuel in verse 7 and he says, do not look at his appearance or at how tall he is or at his stature, because I've rejected him. For God does not see as a man sees, since man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't that so scary? You know what scares me the most about this? That we can fake it. Often as the people of God, and I stand in shame before you to say, there are times in my life as a Christian I faked it. I portrayed all the right things. I presented all the right things. I looked the part. I acted the part. But yet I hear those words every now and then from the Lord Jesus. He said, these people, they get it right with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Everything starts here in the heart, my dear friends. There's another scripture. So essentially from this, what do we see? What do we look at our own lives? I want to say this. Even if the outside looks great, if the heart is broken, we're broken. Even if the outside looks good, if the heart is broken, we're broken. And I want to say, sometimes we will do everything by the book. Sometimes we will do everything accurately and perfectly, but the condition of the heart is wrong. Listen, I'm reminded time and time again when they brought that woman to Jesus who had committed adultery. The Pharisees were right. The law of Moses did say stone such a person. The Pharisees were using the word of God to justify their actions, and they were doing it accurately. But look at Jesus, and he goes to the heart. He goes straight for the heart, and he says, listen, get ye behind me, Satan. Take that rule book away from me. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Straight to the heart. Straight to the heart. So even if the outside looks great, even if they can throw the book, even if you can come and say, we did it according to how it should have been done, if the heart conditional attitude is broken, it's broken. Another proverb, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19. Just before I read that proverb, even if it's behind me, I don't know how many of you enjoy Disney movies. I like the old-fashioned Disney movies, you know, from when I was young. I'm still young, by the way. But in The Lion King, there's that famous scene where Simba has denied who he was, and he finds Rafiki, and they go into this lake, and he moves the water, and Simba looks at the water, and it reflects his father. Check this out. As in water, a face reflects the face, so the heart of a person reflects the person. Another version says this, just as water mirrors your face mirrors your heart. Wow, unbelievable, eh? So what happens outwardly is a result of what's going on inwardly. What's happening out here is a result of what's cooking inside. And that is such a challenge for you and me. And as I mentioned before, it's a terrible thought that we can fake it. But that is why as we examine our own hearts and the conditions of our hearts, we've got the freedom to approach God and say as David did, create in me a pure heart. Remove any unclean thing from me. And of course, the final little verse to look at as we just examine our hearts It's that scary, scary verse where Jesus is quoted as saying, "For I tell you, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Yeah. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's happening in here comes out here. And it always comes out. It always comes out. Maybe not at the right time, or maybe we can fake it and control it, but I tell you what happens in here always comes out here. And this is why, my dear friends, we have to examine our hearts. I thought we'd kind of turn the slant a bit, and I want to kind of use the Word of God now this morning to answer the question, well, what does a new heart look like? You know, what does a new heart look like? And maybe we'll answer this question for quite a while, but what will we look like, or what will the result of a new heart and the result of a new spirit, what will it look like? And the first thing I want to suggest is this one thing. When you come to know Jesus and when He gives you a new heart, there is one thing that is placed at the center of all your convictions, and that is this one statement. I am what I am, but by the grace of God. That is what a new heart looks like. We run away from that idea that we're better than anyone. We run away from that idea that we deserve salvation and others don't. No, we realize that we are what we are, but by the grace of God alone. I call it a Christ alone heart. A Christ alone heart. When God puts a new heart in you, my friends, and when He fills you with the Spirit, you will walk around with one anthem and one united song, and that is this: in Christ alone my hope is found. That unites us when we walk around recognizing that everything that I am is a reflection of the grace of God. Everything that I have is a reflection of the grace of God. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, and I love how he writes here. In Philippians chapter 3, it's behind me. Let me read a couple of verses there for you. He says here, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to protect your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil." Let me paraphrase. "Watch out for those who force you to follow religious rules so that you will be saved." That's what he's saying. Those people who say, you must add this onto your salvation. You must believe in Jesus, but you must also do this. You must also hold to this theology. You must also ascribe to this teaching. In Christ alone do we have our salvation. And that is the reflection of a new heart. It's not that we are arrogant. It's not that we are unteachable. It's not that we as a church are not prepared to listen. But here's one thing. If we don't believe in Christ, we have no salvation. So we are prepared to stand for that, because salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. Carries on in verse 3. He says, "For we who worship by the Spirit of God, we are the ones who are circumcised. We rely," listen here, "on what Christ Jesus has done for us." Amen? Only on what He has done for us. Not church membership. Not anything. Only on what He has done for us. We put no confidence in our human effort. Though, Paul says, he could have confidence in his own effort if anyone could. Indeed, others have reason for confidence in their own efforts. I have even more. Listen to the words of Paul. He's like, listen, I put no confidence in who I am or what I can do, even though I could trust my own efforts. He says, because I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm a pure-blooded Israeli. I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew if ever there was one. My friends, I am a Baptist if ever there was one. But being a Baptist doesn't get me into heaven. Being a child of God does. I'm probably not much of a Baptist. He carries on. He says, I was a member of the Pharisees. I demanded the strictest obedience to the law. I was so zealous that I murdered people who belonged to Jesus. As for righteousness, sinless. I observed it without fault. Next slide. I once thought these things were valuable, But now I consider them worthless in comparison to what Christ has done for me. Wow. You know what a new heart looks like? It's a Christ alone heart. It's a Jesus only heart. It's an in Christ alone heart. That is what having a new heart looks like. The second thing I want to look at, and it might seem convenient because Keith and Christina are here for us this morning, but when God gives you a new heart, He gives you a heart for the lost, my friends. He gives us a heart for the lost. Because when I know how wretched I am, and when I recognize that God can rescue even a sinner like me, there is no one that God cannot save. I want to tell you, dear friend, this morning, if you've never made a decision to believe in Jesus, let me tell you, if God can save me, you'll be a piece of cake for Him. If God can save me, and there's many others of us who will say exactly the same thing, if God's grace can welcome me, His grace is enough for you, my beloved. His grace is enough for you. So when God gives you a new heart, it's a Christ alone heart, and He gives you a heart for the lost. EBC, can I suggest, let us be a church for the unchurched. Let us be a church who welcome those who are not within our walls into our walls so that Christ may save them. Wouldn't that be a great goal? Consider Christianity. It's the only faith that emphasizes the outsiders. It's the only faith that prioritizes the outsiders. We don't criticize those who are outside. We want to welcome them and embrace them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Why? Because the heart of God is for the lost. The heart of God is for the lost. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Greek, then anyone else who will believe in it. Wow, that's what a new heart looks like. I'm not expecting all of us, or God's not expecting all of us to go to, you know, sell ice creams in the parts of Africa where no ice creams have ever been sold. But I'll tell you one thing, every single one of us are full-time missionaries, because Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, the Great Commission says this, while you are going, make disciples. Not practically get up and you must go there and you must go to the outskirts and you must go to Judea, you must go to Samaria. But while you are going, when you are a child of God, you have a heart for the lost. The final part of what a new heart looks like that I want to share with you this morning is that when God gives you a new heart, it's a Christ alone heart. It's a heart for the lost. And here's a tough one. He gives you a heart that controls your tongue. He gives us a heart that controls our tongue. One of the most challenging verses in all of Scripture is found in the book of James. And in James chapter 1, verse 19, and you know, I love how we can freely, can I say, interpret. We can't add things into the Word of God, but we can interpret. James was the brother of Jesus. I think of my relationship with my sibling. It's very seldom you make your sibling look good, right? I mean, isn't the role of a younger brother to belittle your older sister, or have I had that wrong? You know, so I just think of the relationships between Jesus and James and the different kinds of conversations. So if the brother of Jesus, James, can write such a brilliant letter about his brother Jesus, we should listen. Because when I watch my sibling, I don't watch to praise, I watch to correct. That's what we do. That's the brother-sister code, isn't it? Clearly not here in Edenvale, but in Vereeniging, that's certainly the code. But friends, in James chapter 1 and verse 19, this is the result of the heart that Jesus puts in us. Everyone quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. That sums it up. That's the heart of God. John 3:17, for the Father did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world would be saved through Him. This is the heart of God. Let's look at that quickly. We live in a world and a society where no one's quick to hear. These days we've lost the art of listening to learn. We listen to engage. We listen to correct. We listen to rebuke. That's totally contrary to the heart that God puts in us. We listen to respond. We should listen to learn. And that's such a challenge. Slow to speak, oh please. We want to defend our cause. Slow to speak, no ways. We want to stand up for what's right. I want to tell you that the theme of the child of God is that he will fight for us. We need only be silent. And then finally, slow to anger. Really? Slow to anger. Everyone, we're just, all of us, our fuses are just getting shorter and shorter and shorter. There's a way to grow that fuse and to remove that fuse. That is to be filled with the Spirit. Just look at the opposite of that. I often read that and I look at the opposite of that. Slow to hear, quick to speak, quick to get angry. Sometimes as a people of God, we're the complete opposite of that. Because there are times I'm slow to listen, slow to hear. I'm pretty much always quick to speak. And sometimes quick to anger. Sometimes quick to anger. We have to examine our hearts. That's what we have to do as the people of God. And the difficult thing about a message like this is that you alone can assess your heart with the Spirit's help. I alone, with the Spirit's guidance, with the Spirit's conviction, I alone can assess my heart. Because God hasn't called me to fix the heart of the person next to me. God has called me to walk humbly before him, to love justice, to portray mercy, to be Christ alone, to love the lost, and to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I want to ask you this morning if you just bow your head, as mine will be bowed. And now's the time, let's just monitor our hearts. Maybe now's the time you can just examine and just consider your fuse. Consider those things in your life that's stealing your joy. And maybe you're not the problem. But let the Lord fight for you, my dear friend. Father God, this morning, can I just say thank you that you've made us new? As I reflect on just this word, I know and I'm sure your people will agree, we may not be the people we should be, but we're not the people we used to be. But Lord, you're not done with us. We still have a long way to go. And Lord, I don't know why we hide things from you. Because you alone know the condition of our hearts. And my precious friends, this morning, I'm not trying to manipulate or embarrass anybody, but I'm going to pray a few sentences from Psalm 51. And if you want to pray those with me, I just want to invite you to stand where you are. If you just hear this morning, you feel like, you know what? I need a kind of, my heart needs to be adjusted a little bit. The Lord needs to send his Spirit and just keep working with me. I just want to invite you to stand where you are. And I'm being specific about that because I'm standing. I want you to know that my heart needs a lot of work. My heart needs a lot of work. If you want to pray a few sentences with me, you don't have to say it out loud. Maybe you want to just say it in your heart. I'm just going to quote David. Have mercy on me, O God. Yeah. Because of your unfailing love. Yeah. because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt and purify me from my sin. Lord, if you clean me, I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be white as snow. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Put your spirit within me. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit, but you cannot reject a repentant heart. Our precious Lord, you know our hearts. We come to you this morning. We stand before you unashamedly to say, Lord, heal our hearts. Change our hearts. Give us new hearts. But we come united to say, Lord Jesus, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit.